is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche. On News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
Hey, welcome to the Not Too Late Show, where it's never too late to step into your power, to express your gift, or discover your genius. Turn up your light, step out, and be the gift that you came here to be. I'm your host, Miche Meisner, Chief Spoonbending Barista at the Spoonbenders Cafe and Transformation Coach. And this is one of my very favorite places to be and share awesome people and their exceptional wisdom and magical woo. Today, my guest is Tammy Goen, who is a self-love and happiness coach specifically, especially for highly sensitive people. Tune in, stay tuned, hang out, and hear her wisdom and feel some woo. Lifescape Wellness, and Tammy helps highly sensitives create a toolbox of coping strategies to decrease anxiety and overwhelm, to develop self-acceptance, self-compassion, self-love, and learn how sensitivities can become a superpower. So these topics, these ideas are very close to my heart. I also, as a self-love and superpower coach, but Tammy has some secret knowledge and some secret weapons, you know, to help us make even the most of it. And a lot of information that I don't have and haven't been able to share about specifically being a highly sensitive person. So I'm really looking forward to myself learning more about that and to be sharing that with you as well. So welcome, Tammy. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Miche. It's great to be here. Glad to join you.
Sasha, highly sensitive cat, is joining
yes.
us as well.
Well, you know, 20% of ish of our population is highly sensitive, and that includes the animal kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah. So animals are highly sensitive as well.
Right. So like 20% of animals are more highly sensitive than like...
than the other 80%.
Regular... Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Like
yeah.
people.
Okay.
Yeah, which I'm assuming that a lot of those end up being, you know, therapy animals and,
yeah.
you know, horses are really known for being, you know, super highly sensitive. And I actually remember maybe a couple years ago, there was a big story going around YouTube or I don't know, something about a horse that they were actually bringing. This is not in America, obviously, in through hospitals.
Yeah.
And they would... and the horse would, it would just kind of, they would just let him walk along and it would just stop at certain rooms and then go in
yeah.
where it knew it needed to be, you know, and just give love and energy to
right.
to the folks there. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
How amazing is that? Yeah. Very cool. I hadn't thought about it in that way. So I guess my first question is, are you a highly sensitive person?
I am definitely a highly sensitive person. I didn't know that until maybe 10, 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, I always knew that I was sensitive, but until that point, I always heard it as, you know, too sensitive or oversensitive or, you know, what's wrong with you? Or why
yeah.
can't you just let that go? And so it was one of those things I didn't really share because it didn't seem like anybody, you know, could get it or understood mm-hmm. me. And so
right.
for highly sensitive, and you learn how to just kind of keep those feelings down and try to cope and just ignore things supposedly.
Yeah.
But that usually means like leaving.
Right.
You should have that to deal with. So yeah, I mean, I once I became aware of that it as, oh, this is a trait, which means it's not just me. That's right. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all of this information that I can read about it, so I get to know myself even better than I did, but also learning how to share it with other people. That's one of the things I work a lot with people on, how to communicate that to others so that they can get the support and understanding and feel okay, and then develop their, you know, their own love. But, yeah, definitely pretty high up on the sensitivity scale myself. But I mean, there's always, you know, there's a range, just like with anything. Of course, you can be ultra, ultra, you know, sensitive, or, you know, kind of mid-range, but still more than 80% of the population, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, mm-hmm. And I would say probably 90% or more of my guests on this show are highly sensitive and have had similar sort of, you know, struggles or challenges growing up, mm-hmm. being seen as highly sensitive, as like, why don't you conform, or what's wrong with you, or, you know, you take things too seriously or whatever. Certainly that was my struggle, or one of my struggles growing up. And I think for many of my guests, and, you know, I usually kind of ask them, like, well, what was that like for you growing up? Right. And so, challenging, right? That's sort of, you know, the bottom line is challenging. But, you know, I don't know, did you have family who kind of accepted you or respected that? You know,
that's a really good question, because it makes a big difference, actually, because they've discovered that highly sensitive that come from a background that was not supportive, very, very challenging, maybe, you know, traumatic, have right. a harder time later, and more likely to develop depression and anxiety and substance use and, you know, all those kinds of things. Right. And those who have a very strong support system actually end up having better coping skills than non-highly sensitive people, right. because of, you know, of how that, what that trajectory was. But so I had kind of a mix. I mean, my immediate family was very supportive emotionally, generally speaking. I mean, my parents got divorced when I was 10, and there was, you know, all of that tension and that kind of stuff. But I felt accepted as who I am, who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But still not necessarily understood, because it wasn't, you know, people didn't understand that trait. And it was always more of just kind of like a quirky thing. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Well, actually, my favorite story, if I can tell a story from that. When I was 15, we must have had some kind of a family gathering, because my mom and both of my grandmas were there in the main area. My sister, I don't know if she was there initially or not, but she wasn't there. So it was just three of them and me. You know, after talking for a while, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go hang out in my room. So I go back to my room, and I walk through the door, and immediately I have to stop, because I know there's something up. And I just kind of scan my room. I'm going, I just knew something was off. Something was up. So I took inventory, and finally I looked over. Music was, you know, a huge thing for me. So I had this stereo cabinet, or, you know, system stand. And along the sides of the stand, I always had these little figurines. And they were always the same in the exact same spot. It was just one of that organization that, you know, all those details. Yeah. And I just kind of looked around, and then I looked right down at those, and I'm like, well, that's weird. So two of the figurines were reversed from where they usually are. And I would this sounds really obsessive, but when I would dust, I would just pick it up and move it. So they were always in the same place.
Right.
They were reversed. And, of course, I'm going, and my sister was not one of those to mess around in my room. I don't know why, but we never had that issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just didn't go into my room. And I mean, unless something happened, I had a head injury or something, and I couldn't remember doing anything. I mean, I knew I didn't do it, because I'm, you know, paying attention to details all the time. It's like, did I do that and forget? I knew I didn't. So I sat with it, and I thought, well, no, let it go. Of course, I couldn't. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll figure it out. So I go back into the room, and I'm just kind of standing there, and my mom has this weird look on her face, and she looks at me, she goes, what's up, Pam? And I'm like, well, you know, I know this is a little odd, it's no big deal, but, and then I explained the scenario, and all three of them just busted out laughing. Of course, I'm standing there going, okay, this is fun. So they had been talking about the last time they were together or something, about how sensitive I was.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, yeah, well, you know, people said, no. I mean, she's, you know, so they had some discussion. So this was a test. She said, no, I could move something in a room and she would know immediately. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, that's.
Yeah.
So this was a test. And she's like, see, I told you. And of course, I mean, it was done in a lighthearted, you know, we love you, Tammy, you know, kind of way. Right. But it was still like, oh yeah, there's me, the, you know, sensitive one that nobody nobody can understand and get. But but you know, overall, I did have that support from my family and mm-hmm. and a, you know, I mean, all the way through school, lots of support. So I feel like I had a better foot in the door of building those. I mean, you know, back when I was doing counseling, even though I was not trained in mindfulness or anything like that at that time, it was kind of before it was talked about. I incorporated that in my work with clients, just mm-hmm. self-care stuff that seemed like it made a lot of sense, and because right. it, you know, it worked well for me. So I had that start, which was really, I mean, I'm really grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Great. I was actually reading a blog post of yours recently where you talked about that the highly sensitive person trait actually being genetic. And that was a surprise to me because, I know a lot of people who have been, and I guess I just thought we were sort of like, you know, not all of us, but a lot of us have become like the healers and the light workers. And it's because we came in like, I don't know, more, maybe not so much more awake, but a little bit like our volumes were turned on higher but I didn't think of it as genetic or hereditary or whatever. And I think of it, of course, my mom, I think, is extremely highly sensitive, has always been very intuitive and empathic, but never understood that within herself. I mean, even now, having sort of me as the role model daughter, who's gone all sort of woo woo and look what this is about, still doesn't really accept maybe the idea that she does really have some of this capacity, because she is that sensitive and that aware and that noticing. And I think she's pretty aware of how difficult that's made her life, right? I mean, it's hard to be that in the world because the world is not set up that way.
If you don't have the awareness and the tools, it's really challenging.
Right. And, you know, even when we do have that, it's challenging, but even more so when we don't have the awareness of tools, or when we're still in a place where there's some, self-esteem issues or putting ourselves down. I mean, you know, my level of sensitivity was not handed back to me as a character trait to be proud of, right? And I think even more so, you know, my mom growing up, you know, 20, 30 years, earlier than me, and nobody was, you know, patting her on the head for her ability, right, to be aware and to know things. It just made it harder. So anyway, you know, do you want to maybe talk for a moment about the idea of this being genetic and hereditary and, like, what does that mean?
I don't know so much hereditary as in, like, it just has to follow along the, you know, the bloodlines, but it's definitely inherent. I mean, it's just we're wired differently. I mean, that's mm-hmm. I use okay. that terminology for people to share. It's like, hey, we're just, you know, I'm just wired differently than you. Mm-hmm. So it and you can equate it to like being right-handed, left-handed.
Right.
Right. It's not wrong. There have been periods in history when people were not supposed to allow, you know, don't allow your kids to be left-handed.
My dad.
Make them, you know, become right-handed.
Right. My dad in his early years, he grew up as a young boy in France before they immigrated here. And he was left-handed, and they actually tied his hand behind his back, you know, and would whack his hand when he tried to draw, you know, right-handed or left-handed. So he became ambidextrous, and he used his right hand because that's what, you know, they beat him into submission, right? My mom is left-handed. My brother is left-handed. I wonder if there's any correlation that you know of between being left-handed and also being highly sensitive.
I don't know that, but that is interesting. I get questions like out all the time. I need to keep a journal where people are like, do you think there's any, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know. That's really fascinating. So I've not ever read anything about that, but it is similar in terms of, you know, it's just a trait. So some people will get bogged down in the label, and so it's like, yeah, you don't have to use it as a label because it doesn't mean anything other than it's a trait. You're right-handed and you're highly sensitive, and so it's not a disorder, it's not a diagnosis, it's not anything that needs to be fixed, you know, that's wrong, you know, it's just who you are, how you're wired. So yeah, it's inherent, so it's not a choice, you know, when you're working with people, talking with them, sharing it, and you have conflict, You know, it's, you want to make sure that they don't realize, or they realize it's not something you're working on to get rid of, you know.
Yes, right.
Oh, you know, I'm learning more about myself. I'd like you to learn more about me as well. And then you can help me learn about you. You know, I'm actually in the middle of writing right now about, you know, how to share sensitivities with people and improve communication.
Right.
And one of the things that's really key, I think, for us highly sensitive is to recognize that non-highly sensitive, they have their own viewpoint also. So, you know, it seems like maybe we're being unreasonable or, you know, ridiculous or, you know, whatever, but we can kind of have the same viewpoint of the non-sensitive. It's like, well, you know, how could they not feel that way? Or how could they feel that way? Or how could they do that? Or, you know, what are they thinking? And we don't know, because we can't go there and they can't go, you know, here and understand us. But if we can understand that it's just, you're wired this way, I'm wired this way, so let's share that with each other and explain, you know, well, what's that like for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you say, oh, well, for me, it's like this. And a lot of times you get that, really? Like, yeah, but for us, it's like, well, yeah, what else could it be? But for them, it's like, that would never even cross my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Huh.
So, it's important to just understand that difference as, you know, no right or wrong, but it's definitely a difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and it requires some working with, right, to make it easier to navigate in a very busy, loud, physically, sensorially loud and emotionally loud and just all sorts of loud way. I think, you know, one of the things I'm thinking is, you know, years ago it was growing up in New York City, I remember like came out when I was 16, we went to the gay pride parade and I could hardly stand it. Because it was so loud, right? There were so many people. There was so much stuff going on. It was just overwhelming for me, you know, and other parades or marches or whatever that I tried to be part of and finally, you know, just gave up. I was like, no, I can't go march on Washington because I can't handle it, you know, physically or emotionally or whatever. And I didn't understand why. And now I have a whole different perspective.
Yeah.
So you help people, right, figure those things out for themselves.
And part of it is, you know, that awareness of, you know, this is me, and then being okay with that. And being, you know, yeah, I'm a sensitive soul, and these things affect me this way. So the next step is boundaries. You know, you create boundaries based on what's good for you. It might not match other people.
Right.
And then you learn how to, you know, if there's a group of people that you really like and, you know, one-on-one or with three of you or something, you know, you always have a great time. But then everyone, if y'all get together in a giant group at a noisy restaurant or bar or something, that's, you know, likely not going to work for you, you know, as a typically with, you know, HSP. So if you can learn to say, well, you know what, this works for me, and this does, these things, not so much. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, maybe sometimes if the rest of my day has been totally low-key, you know, maybe I can do that for like an hour or something like that. But, you know, so you identify what those limits are and then, you know, value yourself enough to say, nope, that's one of my limits and I can't go there. So being able to explain that to somebody, though, instead of just opting out, all, you know, all the time and not giving an example or a reason or so that people are like, well, you know, because a lot of times highly sensitive are considered antisocial. People will think we're antisocial because we're avoiding certain types of, you know, interaction. But we really like interaction. We want deep connection with people, just not, which makes sense. I mean, if you're in a giant, noisy room with all kinds of stuff going on, you can't have that deep connection experience, right? Because there's, I mean, you know, what are you going to focus on? I mean, anybody can't do that. So yeah, being able to set those boundaries, and then learning how to share those needs with people, so that it's taken as just matter of fact instead of, you know, because you have this weird, you know, trait. It's like 20% of the people. I mean, that's not nothing. You know, it's not the majority, but it's certainly not rare. It's
right,
you know, a good portion. Right. Not that the whole 20% of people know already that they're highly sensitive. I mean, that's the factor, right? Because there's a lot of sensitives out there that they just don't know that that's the trait that anybody else is experiencing that besides them. So that's a big factor.
Does that trait tend to kind of express itself in similar ways, or, I mean, we're not going to all be exactly the same, and, I mean, we're different personalities and stuff too, you know, but I'm wondering, like, is there sort of kind of like a standard set of traits or challenges that kind of go across the board?
Yeah, we tend to be overwhelmed more easily by this. That's exactly what you're talking about, lots of noise, lots of activity, just too much going on. And that can be certain things also, like expectations, like there's too much on your plate, you know, kind of stuff. So you can get overwhelmed easily. Our emotions tend to be really heightened. So, you know, if you've grown up hearing that, you know, you're too emotional. So that, you know, that idea that your emotions are really big, or you experience them in a big way. Usually we have a really, really difficult time with inhumane treatment, violence, you know, that kind of mistreatment of people or animals. Sometimes especially animals. We usually have a really strong connection with animals and or nature. A real, almost, you know, a lot of times visceral response to beauty and music and, you know, just a lot of positive stuff. I mean, that's one of one of the benefits. And then there's another one specifically I was going to mention that now has slipped my mind. Those are some of the main ones. Another key one it'll pop up in a minute, but
blurt it out.
Yeah.
Great. So we had talked about you sharing like a grounding exercise that you offered to people, right, to test them. We could do that now. We could also talk about, you know, if you want to, at some point, I do want to focus on, I want to have you share like the whole idea of that this is actually a superpower, or, you know, the benefits, the beauty of it. You know, and how you help people kind of see that and look at things differently.
Yeah.
And
and we could do it in either or, whichever one first. But I will mention, though, that in terms of, you know, why I suggested like a grounding exercise, because one of the key components for coping and making this a superpower and being able to not be overwhelmed all the time is maintaining self-care for sure, but specifically things that calm your nervous system.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, meditation, mindfulness, yoga, I mean, things that not only slow you down, you know, physically, but emotionally, mentally, where you just can detach or to, you know, focus on something specific, you know, something mindful in the moment, you know, something like that is, if you can calm down that nervous system, you know, because it's already heightened compared to the majority. And so, you know, the more input that comes in, you fill up sooner. So if you haven't filled your own, you know, your reserves to be able to cope, then it's more difficult. So calming the nervous system for sure is really helpful. So a grounding exercise or something is good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it actually, you know, has me thinking about, I talk often about depression, about having lived with depression since I was very young. And also, you know, as I have been able to come out of that and live differently and cope differently, you know, a bunch of the time, realizing that the different ways that the depression can also be a coping mechanism. I mean, there's the sort of physical, biological part of it. There's all sorts of different levels, you know, but one of them is when I could see now, I mean, just as you were saying, it's like, wow, you know, when I would get depressed, it was a way to unplug, right? It was, if I got depressed enough, it was permission, coming to being incapable of keep being out there and trying to cope and be around people. And so it forced me to withdraw and be quiet. And it wasn't a pleasant way to do it, right? Because there was a lot of negativity involved with it. And there was also a lot of shutting out and a lot of quieting and a lot of spending time, you know, alone and in sort of darker spaces or sleeping a lot or whatever. And I could see also that if I had known these as coping mechanisms of their own and been able to say, you know what, like, I'm just going to sleep for the rest of this day because I just, you know, my nerves are frayed or whatever, and have been able to give that to myself, you know, for someone else to allow themselves of these sort of coping mechanisms, then they could be seen, they're functional, not dysfunctional. Then, right? It's like, oh yeah, you need that. That's important.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, going so far until like you're just ready to break and you break and do something else, Yeah.
And so that depression was actually like, you know, they talk about secondary gains, like what do you get out of certain things. And so, yeah, you're right on about that. It's like, yeah, at some point your body, your system's going, hello, we need some serious downtime now. But yeah, if you do that proactively and say, oh no, so much every day, so much every week, I need that downtime to keep myself calm and to allow that, you know, for me to build up those reserves. Mm-hmm. Then you don't have something that's going to, you know, knock you out for a couple of days. So giving yourself permission for that. And actually, some will say for highly sensitives, you should have 1 to 2 hours per day and an entire day every week of not just downtime, but alone time.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically doesn't happen in our world, but knowing that, it's like, oh yeah, I mean, it's like a prescription, you know. It's not being selfish or lazy or whatever to take that time off. It's like, it's necessary to then be able to handle the rest of life. So
key. Well, yeah, this is, you know, this discussion is really useful and helpful for me, and I hope that it is for other people too, you know, to recognize that for themselves and to be kind to themselves and understand that this, you know, it's not just like, okay, so, you know, many people know by now, if they've been, you know, watching the show, listening to the show, that back in September, my house burned down. And one of the things that happened, soft landing, we're staying here at my partner's family's home. And that's great to have a home and a safe place and all of that. And there is much less privacy and alone space than we had when we lived on a 2-acre plot. Just the two of us with our animals, with, you know, hardly anybody even in shouting distance, right? And so partly I recognize that I've been struggling and not being very nice to myself in assessment of how it feels like how little I get done in a day, you know. And I started to really kind of look at that a little bit differently, like, wait a minute, I'm coping, right? I'm doing the best I can. I am not in my best coping environment. You know, besides whatever feelings and thoughts about having all my stuff having, you know, burned up, but just being in a less than optimum living situation, you know, that in a way that we normally wouldn't choose or set it up, where there is really no place to go except to go out in my car somewhere to really be alone. And I recognize that I've been getting kind of mad at myself about that, you know, about my limitations. And just having this conversation kind of brings it back around to like, oh, wait a minute, you know, this is how I'm wired. This is a need. This isn't like, I'm not just like being, you know, lazy or just choosing to, you know, I don't know what, just choosing to not do or be, you know, and I am actually doing a lot and creating a lot to the extent that I can and could even use a little more of that alone time down. Right. So,
and even like throughout the day, if you were to have like 15 minutes, 2-3 times a day in the midst of all the stuff that you're doing,
right.
You say, oh, wait, it's time for my, not like I'm going to go be lazy now, but right. Oh, wait, it's time for my break so I can recharge.
Right.
And then that next period, that next block of time that you're actually, you know, working on something, whatever, you're going to be more focused and more productive. And then you know that you're going to have another break so that even during that time, let's say you're doing a 2-hour block of something and then you're like, oh, and then I get my 15-minute break or half hour or whatever. Then you even know during that 2 hours that you've got that coming.
Right.
And so you can be like, I can put everything I've got, you know, right now into this 2-hour block. And then I get to just decompress and let that go. And then I can go on again. But if you have that mindset of like, oh, I have all this stuff to do, and, you know, by the end of the day, I've got to get all this. And then you can feel your nervous system start to amp up because you're thinking, I've got all this stuff. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. And, you know, but if you're like, oh, I'm going to take it in chunks, but also give myself, by actually working it into my schedule, these breaks, because I need it, because that's how I'm wired. Not because, you know, I'm just lazy. It's like, no, I need that. And then I can go fresh into my next, you know, slot and be more effective and functional and feel better. So, yeah, it's,
yeah. And I think for months and months, my way to deal with it was that I slept a lot. I mean, I would sleep a lot, you know, overnight. I kept crazy hours. I was often up until 3 in the morning, I think, because it was quieter then, right? But then I would sleep in late, and then I would get up for a while, and then I would nap again, and it just felt like, you know, I'm just disappearing from my own life. And because sort of in this, the way we talked about the secondary gain of the depression, well, the, you know, feeling tired, feeling not unrested all the time was a way to allow myself to have to sleep. And sleeping was my best chance of a long time, right, and of space. And, you know, as I started, like, becoming more aware of that, not just being mad at myself about it, but really looking at it, right, in a kind and loving way, like, okay, well, what do you need and what is going on? I've been able to make some other choices, and I'm not taking, you know, these, like, 2 or 3 hour naps every day, and I can be present, and I don't have to be productive all that time. Some of that time is about just being quiet somewhere. So,
and some of it can actually be just logistics. And I mean, like, if you actually, you know, because we usually do better with some kind of a schedule,
mm-hmm.
that where you, not everything's not unexpected or unknown. You know, you have some control over certain things. I mean, things will change, of course, but if you even recognize that, as, because sleep is a huge thing too. Highly sensitive need plenty of sleep. 5 and 6 hours a night is not usually conducive to anything for us. So if it can't be all, like, at night, 8 hours, let's say you can do 6 hours, and but you know that's not enough time, then if you actually schedule in and say, okay, well, I'm going to have these hours be productive for myself, I'm going to sleep 6 hours, but then midday or at this particular time after I do this or whatever each day, I'm going to have an hour nap or an hour and a half or whatever, and actually say, you know, do that consciously and purposefully so that it's, there's a reason behind it, and you're not, you know, getting on yourself for, oh, I shouldn't be sleeping all this much. It's like, well, no, you do need a lot of sleep. So it depends on how that works into your schedule. but a lot, all that kind of stuff is, it's just so important to give yourself permission under the guise of it's necessary. If I want to be able to cope and do everything and be the person, my best self, I have to do these things, or I'll end up, you know, in bed for a day, or, you know, whatever it is that your body finally goes, okay, enough.
Right.
And then the guilt and the shame and the, you know, all that stuff comes in afterwards, because you're like, oh yeah, I just took the whole day off and I could have been doing all these things, you know.
Right. And ultimately we deserve to need what we need, or we need to get, to give ourselves, to set up what we need.
Right.
So, okay. So all of that to say, coming back around, take us through your grounding exercise, please.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and then so take some time to talk about our superpowers.
Yes. Okay. So if you're comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes or just soften your gaze, whatever's comfortable for you. Take a couple nice, soothing, slow, deep breaths. Give yourself lots of time. Slowing down the breathing. And imagine yourself outside in a perfect spot, whatever that is for you. And picture some kind of a pyramid that surrounds you. The bottom is open to the earth. And it just kind of holds in some really great energy and focuses that energy. And just pay attention to your feet and think of from your center, from your core, and from your feet, suddenly you just grow roots from those points, start going down into the earth, farther and farther. And the one coming from your core goes straight down into the very center of the earth. You'll see it just getting longer and longer, moving toward the center until it reaches the very center of the earth. And feel the stability in being tethered to the very center, the very core of the earth. And just allow that feeling to build, that connection with Mother Earth. And the roots from your feet now have gone down a ways as well, and they now start to spread out somewhat horizontally. And while you're connected with the center of the earth, now you're also connected below the earth, below the ground level, spreading out wide. So that creates amazing stability. You're connected and stable. And all of the earth's energy comes up through all of those roots into your being. Just feel that connection, that stability, that loving energy from the earth. And now there's some little branches off of the lower, or the upper, I guess, roots. Some little feeder roots that come out and go a little bit more toward the surface again until they hit water. And then they spread out a little bit more. And now you feel the energy of the water of the planet coming up your roots and into your being, into your core. The water has such magic properties. Now you're feeling the energy from the center of the earth, from those widespread roots, and now from the water. And all of that amazing energy comes up through your roots and into your being. Just pay attention to how solid you feel on Mother Earth. And all of those points coming in, all of that energy radiates even beyond that and fills your pyramid. You're just surrounded in every part of you, every cell inside and outside of you with this amazing energy. And then you shift your attention while all of this continues to the very point of your pyramid. And from the point of the pyramid, you realize there's this amazing bright white light coming in from the cosmos into the top of the pyramid, down into your head and surrounding the whole inside of your pyramid. So now you just spend a moment paying attention to how this feels to have this amazingly grounding, supportive energy from the earth coming up and this loving light coming in from the universe. In the cosmos, and they both come in and mingle and move around inside your pyramid and enter into your body through your head and your feet, and every single cell of your being, you're aware now, feels so relaxed and calm and grounded, feeling like you can handle anything at this point. So calm and supported. And just know that you can come back to this feeling, this place, anytime that you want. You can carry your pyramid with you anywhere. You can always be aware of it. You can connect with the earth anytime. Connect with the cosmos. You can ground yourself at will if you're just aware. And now you can go ahead and just pay attention to your body again. Be aware of your body in the room, wherever you happen to be. Focus on your breathing again. You might wiggle your fingers and toes. Be aware of that body and aware of the room. And take one last really nice deep breath in. And hold at the top for just a moment. And then exhale. And just feel that sense of relaxation before you open your eyes when you're ready.
That was wonderful. Good sense of my center of gravity kind of hunkering down, you know, and feeling more untippable, right?
Oh, I love that word, untippable. I like it.
Yeah, cool. Thank you for that. Right. Anyone who's listening, you know, if you weren't in a position where you could follow along, or even if you were, you'll be able to listen to the replay and, you know, come back and do this any other time that you want. So thank you for that resource to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, we still have some time here, another 10 minutes or so. I think, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, what you help people see, right, is the benefit or the upside of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, so once you have enough of an awareness and understanding of the traits and you work toward validating yourself, because, you know, a lot of times we, of course, like to be validated by others and circumstances, but it's really about validating, you know, ourselves. So even if other people don't understand us, as long as we're okay with, like, you know, I'm a highly sensitive being and it's here for a reason and I'm going to go with it. So once you, you know, if you are in that place, you have some tools developed so that you have better opportunity for, you know, coping and understanding life and not being overwhelmed as much, then it's easier to recognize, you know, how these sensitivities can be not only strength, but superpower strength. So there are lots of benefits. I mean, one of the ones I mentioned was, you know, having that heightened appreciation for like music and art and, you know, various forms of beauty. We tend to be more connected with nature and able to really, you know, understand. The one that I missed that one time was paying attention to details.
Okay.
Right? So we tend to see like every little thing or notice every little thing that other people that aren't, you know, highly sensitive, they just are like, I didn't even notice that. How did you tie, you know, clue into that?
Right.
So we notice the details. So we tend to see things from multiple angles, which actually tends to make us really good employees or employers because we see the big picture and see it from lots of different viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the compassion, level of compassion and empathy, we tend to also kind of know when people are needing something and often even what they need, or when is a good time or not a good time to bring something up. So those kinds of things are definitely, you know, positive traits, positive parts of the trait, benefits to having that compassion and that ability to say, oh, you know, this isn't really, you know, the time for doing this, but this person is me. And maybe it's something, sometimes just, you know, maybe not in COVID time, but, you know, just a touch on the hand or a hug or just a comment that's like, you know, hey, you know, is everything going okay? Because, you know, it looks like you might be preoccupied or, you know, having a challenging day or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, we tend to be able to. So if we're okay letting people see that we have that ability, then that can be, you know, a super part of, that could be your superpower, you know, being able to just really know what people need at the time and being there for them, as long as you're maintaining those personal boundaries so that you're not, you know, overdoing it and giving of all of your energy to those people, right? You learn those boundaries and those techniques, you know, to keep yourself healthy as well. But those are very, you know, a lot of leaders and speakers even, and, you know, people that are well-known, even actors and artists and people like that, a high percentage tend to be highly sensitive. So I actually quote often from Alanis Morissette. She's a highly sensitive, and she actually talks about it. So she has some really great quotes that I'll use, you know, in my blog posts sometimes or something like that. So if you identify it and acknowledge, yeah, that's me, and that's cool, you know, and this is what I need, but this is also what I have to offer.
Right.
And then that's, I mean, that's your superpower, being able to say, oh, you know what, I am finely tuned in this particular way or this area, and that's really beneficial for people. I, you know, if I hone those skills, I can really, you know, I can really help a lot of people in that way, or helping other people to understand what's necessary for taking care of the planet or, you know, animals or things like that. So the awareness level, the ability to process things, and we tend to be, you know, this can go too far, but perfectionistic in a way, you know, we want to do things well and,
right,
you know, have people happy with us and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, once you learn how to work with that, so it's not, you know, overdoing, those lend themselves to being successful in what we're doing and offering the best things that, you know, are really helpful to people. And we tend to be those that are the one that people go to when they, you know, just they need a little advice or they need a little direction or comfort or whatever. They just tend to know that, you know, you're going to have something to help them with or just some good energy, you know.
Right.
They're
going to be heard, they're going to be received,
right?
Like gotten in a lot of ways, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you might even have had, you probably have this happen as well, where you might be somewhere, not that that's happening a lot these days again with COVID, but, you know, you're standing at a bus stop, I don't know, or in a line somewhere or whatever, and someone will just turn to you and just start, like, your whole life story, and you're going,
right.
Wow, but they totally felt comfortable with your energy, and they just knew, it's like, oh, this is someone that I can say these things to, that they wouldn't maybe say, I mean, not that some people, you know, could
right.
work on their own boundaries, but sometimes that happens, you know, people just, they just confide in you, because
right.
they know you're going to, somehow they just know that you're going to get it,
mm-hmm.
and that your response is going to be respectful and compassionate, and
right.
so and that helps. So we tend to be artists. You know, in a whole wide range of, you know, the healing modalities, medical, healthcare, and clergy, and, you know, just a lot of the helping professions, artists, you know, professions, musicians, that kind of thing. So, yeah, if we hone those skills, then they can really be powerful. And with the way things are going in the world these days, I mean, we need more and more of the compassion and the understanding and the seeing things from different sides and taking everything in and being able to work, you know, with different paradigms. And it's all super, that much more, you know, necessary right now these days. So
yeah.
We're, you know, I believe we're here for a reason. And
I agree.
A lot more that are becoming aware of it and doing more with those pieces of the trait.
Right. I think also that those folks who, you know, maybe didn't grow up that way, maybe didn't come in that way, you know, that a lot of the capacities that we have to kind of notice the unspoken or the unseen, to feel things, to be aware, you know, that a lot of people are starting to wake up a little bit to that. I mean, I believe that we all have sort of the apparatus, the potential, right, to be that aware, to know things, to see things, feel things that maybe are not as apparent, you know, and that's, it's different too for people who are like that now and who are kind of like waking up to this, as opposed to people who have been, you know, maybe living, right, as we've been talking, as highly sensitive people all our lives and trying to cope and maybe didn't understand or didn't know and figuring that out now. But I also think that humanity as a whole is having an opportunity now to wake up in those ways, to wake up those capacities
mm-hmm.
that we kind of came in wired with, right?
Right.
So maybe new connections are being wired or can be wired, you know, and that's...
And we can be the conduit for that, right? We can help other people to get that, to understand, yeah. to see what the possibilities are, to grow their own, you know...
Yeah.
skills and abilities that they weren't privy to before.
Right.
So we can
had to navigate it because we've been working this out all this time, right? So so I feel like, you know, in a lot of ways we are here now for a reason too, right? Because we've mm-hmm. been doing our work, many of us, in this sort of way. And so, you know, we're here to help other people figure
right.
it out, navigate and discover it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the questions that I get sometimes that I have not seen research data on yet, because, you know, it takes a long time to get through that and get it published and all that. But it does seem, and I've had several people say, well, do you think it's more than 20% now these days?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes total sense that if that percentage is actually higher because of where we're at and because of how helpful that is, that's probably tipped the scales some, and that it's maybe more than 20% now. But it's also, we're in a place where that's not necessarily mainstream, but it is acceptable more so. I mean, you can talk more about sensitivity or just compassion or things like that. It's just more, it's more out there now than it's ever been. So it's a little bit easier, I guess, in some ways for people to come forward with their trait and their skills, you know.
Right. To me, right. It's like the 100th monkey, the 100th sensitive monkey, you know, as we get critical mass and there's more of us and we are talking about it and writing about it and just sort of exhibiting it with pride and superpower excitement, right? That we're modeling it and we're putting the vibe of that out more also. And so it is more available, I think, to other people to sort of awaken that in themselves. So yay for us on that level too.
Yeah. And if we validate that within ourselves, you know, that's the difference between, you know, like my coach always says, I don't know if I can do this on video very well, but you know, the difference between standing like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And standing like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, just what that feels like in your body, right? And that's the way I see it as, okay, so I'm highly sensitive. So it's like, oh, I'm highly sensitive. I have to explain this to people. Or it's like, yeah, I'm highly sensitive. Let me explain that to you. And let me tell you what that means and how I can use that and be of benefit to, you know, a lot of people. So it's
embody it, own it, share it. As opposed to, you know, feel like, okay, well, you know,
I hide it.
Stuck with it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. That's great. I think we're getting pretty close. I missed a little bit the clock there, but I would like to invite you to take a little bit of time and tell everybody, you know, the different ways that you are available to work with people. Mm-hmm. And also I will say that on Facebook, I have the group, the Not Too Late Show Facebook group for the radio show and for all the episodes and different guests. And so as with others, we'll have your information there, your contact information, the link to your blog and all of that. But take a little time and tell us, you know, how can we work with you and, you know, what do you got going on?
I appreciate that. Yeah, so I do have a website. It's actually probably easiest just to go to Linktree, if anybody's familiar with that, which is linktr.ee, and then / and then my name. And then, so that has a list of some resources and all of my, you know, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, my, you know, Instagram, I mean, all that kind of stuff. So that's all there in one place. But I do also have a meetup group, which is originally focused on Central Oregon, but then the pandemic. And so now we have people, you know, all across the country, but I do like biweekly just group meetings where people just get on virtually and chat with other, you know, highly sensitive. So I have that. I have a Facebook group specific for high sensitives. Mm-hmm. So I've got those options. And then I work individually with people either in person, I'm in Central Oregon, or online, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a combination of, you know, coaching with a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, stress management, mindfulness, meditation, you know, self-care practices, really developing that toolbox. And then EFT or tapping, if people are familiar with that. And I also have a YouTube channel, which is also on my Linktree. So I actually have some tapping videos on there and a couple of meditations because I do heart math program meditation as well. So I pull from a lot of different modalities. I also do energy work, you know, chakra balancing and craniosacral therapy, that kind of stuff all combined depending on what, you know, the person's needing at that time.
Right.
So I like to, you know, pull from a lot of different things that depending on how they resonate with everybody. So there's lots of options for that. And then I do have, you know, like basic packages of, you know, using kind of all of those things, but with a coaching focus. But you can also just choose EFT or tapping, which, you know, people will just find, say, hey, I'm familiar with this, but I really want to get down deep and get some of this stuff moved out and just do, you know, EFT. And that's
great. Totally fine. Yeah, there's so many things nowadays that people can just learn about or do on their own. And I'm all a fan of doing stuff on your own. And it can be really superpower to have somebody, you know, who's kind of ahead of you on the road, maybe, you know, help you down that road or help you even recognize for yourself what is it that's going to work best or to kind of guide you into it. So, you know, I know there's like a gajillion videos out there for EFT, emotional freedom technique tapping. And, you know, it's invaluable to have somebody who like gets you and can really, you know, hone it so that you're really getting the most focused, powerful results.
Yeah.
So
you can get really that underlying stuff that, you know, maybe some of that's coming up when you're doing it yourself, but, you know, you're not catching those little, that little fine-tuning things like, oh, well, what about this? Let's talk about this a little bit and then, you know, try that direction. Stuff that you just don't, maybe don't come up with on your own. So, yeah, it can be really, really helpful.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the discussion. Thank you for all of that. I will put the links also, like I said, in the group that people can find that on the Not Too Late Show Facebook group and track you down through there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will just take a couple of minutes here and mention that some of the work that I'm doing lately, I have been teaching spoon bending workshops. I'm doing them monthly now, the third Sunday of the month usually. And in that, I'm helping people discover their own superpowers and tap into that. And it's also a lot about self-acceptance and self-love and how we approach ourselves. And that depending on how we approach ourselves, we're either sort of opening our own store of superpowers or we're shutting it down, you know, in the same kind of way that we talked about it here.
And I've taken one of those, so I can vouch for it personally. So.
Yeah, great. Yeah. It's such a fun and immediate and tangible way to get these concepts, right? I mean, it's all true and all these different modalities and ideas work, and they can be difficult to track.
They can stay just up here, though, and be like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. But when you actually bend a spoon, you're like, oh, wow.
Hey, wow, that
okay.
really happened. And
it's
it can
real.
Happen in such a short span of time that you can really see, oh, okay, I was thinking that, I was feeling that, and then I shifted and I felt that and I thought that, and then, boom, I was able to do something. So that's been a lot of fun. And very eye-opening for people. And then from there, I actually just started a six-week program called The Spoonbender's Way. And it's basically taking all these different ideas that I throw out and that you get to, you know, dabble in a little bit in the spoonbending workshop and go deeper with them, you know, and really look at, okay, you know, how is your self-talk really affecting what you can and can't do? And then how do you kind of stay on top of that? How do you make the changes? What do you say to yourself instead? And implementing these things, right? So I just started the first of the six-week groups last week. The first one was awesome. I expect it to be just fabulous. I'm actually looking to fill a second group right now and have sort of two kind of concurrently as the beta version. It's a six-week program, 90 minutes each week where we go live together and I'm teaching techniques and we're talking. There's some laser coaching and all of that.
Nice.
And yeah, so far it's looking really good. And then when I offer it again later on, it'll be, you know, more of a potentially a bigger package and also more expensive and whatever. So if this intrigues anybody, even if you haven't been to Spoon with me yet, I encourage you to get a hold of me. You know, if you're listening to the original here, if you're listening to this, you know, somewhere down the road, then, you know, get back to me and let's see what we're up to now. But for the moment, as we speak in May of 2021, you know, I'm just beginning to open this up and see where it goes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, and also do energy work and coaching a one-on-one and in groups. And so there's other things possible there. So just, you know, get a hold of me and see how I might be able to help you as well. Thank you for listening and for participating, you know, your attention, your energy, and stay tuned to see what happens next week. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Misha. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk with you.
All right. And I will be sharing the replay link when I have that. All right.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.